Let's take our Bibles. Of course, next week is our Kids Crusade, and every year as we approach our Kids Crusade, I like to take a Thursday before and talk about children and leading children to Christ, and it's important. I don't want anyone to hesitate coming. If we need help at the altar, I want you to come and to be a help there. And but there are things that I think that always we need to review in dealing with children. So let's start over in Matthew chapter number 18, and we'll also look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. So 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll kind of read that verse first and jump over to Matthew. 2 Peter chapter 3, and in Matthew chapter number 18. The reason we have our Kids Crusade, which is our Bible school, if you will, but the main purpose of that is evangelism, the planting and watering the seed of the gospel in young people's lives. Every ministry that we have at our church is for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. And everything we do, be it discipleship, be it the fellowship, but we always, in every event, try to share the gospel or a challenge from the Word of God to help in evangelism and discipleship. And this is a real focus on evangelism. Young people today do not have the biblical knowledge that young people had a couple of generations ago. Most knew who Jesus was. Most knew that he died on the cross. Most were, you know, at least taken to church by a grandma or somebody. And that, by and large, is different today. They don't have this knowledge, so there will be a lot of planting of the seed and watering of the seed. And 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9, says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, who are not willing that any should perish," and this last part, "but that all should come to repentance." That all includes young people, includes children. You say, can children be saved? Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 6. Matthew 18, verse number 6, Jesus said these words. He said, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones," he's talking about these children, "who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me?" Yes, children can believe in the Lord. All right? I'm not talking like believe like some fairy tale. They can trust the Lord. All right? Children can be saved. It is God's will that all come to repentance. Let's jump up a little bit and read a few verses there in Matthew 18, verse number 1. It says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them, said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." It is God's will that all come to repentance. That includes children. Now, in this passage of Scripture, when Jesus is speaking, he's not saying that only children can be saved. But when we get saved, we must become as little children. Say, what is the Lord talking about there? I jotted down a few things about little children and why the Lord would relate to that. Because for children, all right, they don't see themselves as being important. Children don't see themselves as, you know, and as the star of the show, all right, or the leader of everything. Matter of fact, in the Jewish culture, as the Lord was speaking there, children were looked at as a responsibility. You know, and that's why people, when children approach the Lord, they push them away, all right, because they were just looked at as a bother often. Jewish children were taught to be quiet and not seen, all right, and they were just to be there. But the Lord changes that and uses them and says, we must be his children because, again, they don't see themselves, especially Jewish children, as being, you know, having the preeminence. When we come to the Lord, we must come humbly. No one, you know, feels threatened by a child. You know, if I go tonight, 10 o'clock at night, walk behind a building, and there's a 5-year-old holding a bat in her hand, I'm not running. I'm not scared, right? It's going to be weird. But I'm not running, right? Not, you know, whereas if there's a 6'5", big old muscular guy holding a bat, I'll probably cry. Children were looked at as not important and not threatening. They're humble. They're innocent. They know. You know, there's been times when we took our kids places when they were small, you know, that they, whenever, you know, got into a tight situation or the lights went off at Mammoth Caves, you know, they would grab hold of us. Because they know they can't. They're not threatening. They don't feel that importance. And children are not good at deceiving. Children, young, little children, are terrible liars. I mean, you know that, right? It's like the old child with cookie crumbs and chocolate all over. Did you eat a cookie? No. I'll never forget in first grade one time in our school, you know, this child, all the children had to have their mom sign their homework pad, the homework they had to do. The mom signed off that it was done that night. And the teacher looked at the homework pad and asked the child, said, did your mom sign this? And the child's like, yes. The teacher looked at it and said, are you lying to me? And the child said, no. And the signature was in all capital letters, mommy. You know, big letters. You know, they're not good at deceivers. Adults, we can put on a show. We're a lot better liars than they are. And when Jesus says you must come as a little child, and the no importance, no threat, not good at deceiving, and very humble. But most importantly, it's a simple faith. Children will believe. And again, I'm not talking about being gullible, but I mean, they believe what's told to them. They're a receiver of knowledge. Brother Hodnett told me about him and his brother when I was out in Scotland last, and he said that he got in trouble one time because he was traveling in a car down there, down south, and they drove by this hillside, and there's a bunch of cows on the hillside, and he told his brother, he said, those are hill cows. And his brother said, what are hill cows? He goes, well, they're cows that stand on the side of the hills. And he said, they're different because their one legs are a lot shorter than the other legs. They're hill cows. That's how they can stand on the hill. And the boy was like, whoa, and Brother Jody's brother. He went to school that day, next day, and they were teaching about cows. And she said, how many legs do cows have? And his brother's like, 4 legs. And then his brother raised his hand, and she's like, but the hill cows have short legs and long legs. And the teacher's like, what? My brother told me this. It's true. It wasn't true, right? And Brother Hodnett got in trouble from his parents, right? Because of the hill cows. But they believe. When we come to Christ, it's a simple faith. Now, I'm thankful for this, and don't take me wrong. And I take very carefully when I preach about salvation and such. Don't take me wrong on this, all right? But you don't have to understand all the big words to get saved. When I got saved, I don't know that I could have defined justification yet. I don't know that I could have defined, you know, redemption and all these words that we will speak of freely. But I knew I was a sinner, and I knew my sin demanded a penalty. And I believe that Christ died for my sins. It's a simple faith. And as we grow in the Lord, you're going to learn a lot more about your salvation, which should not make you doubt your salvation, but become more thankful for your salvation. Amen. When you realize what all God's done for you. So can children get saved? Well, absolutely. In the Bible, he would go on and continue that conversation by saying that whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, in verse 6, which believe in me. So let's talk about a few things. I want you to consider some things, and we'll go through this about children. Number one, I want you to consider their age. The age. Can children get saved? We've already established that. The answer is what? Yes, of course. At what age can they get saved? Well, I don't have a biblical answer for that. It's not 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? We talk about the age of accountability. I can tell you this, you know the story, we don't have to turn there, but when David's baby died in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, he put away his fasting in a sackcloth because, and he told the servants, he said, I cannot bring this child to me, but I can go to him. Amen. That child is in heaven today. Amen. The scripture said so. David knew he couldn't bring the child back to him, but he could go to the child. So when a child has not yet reached an age to where they can respond to the gospel, you know, we can call it the age of accountability, being safe in Christ, whatever you want to call that. But when a child can't comprehend, and I'll expand that a little bit more because I believe he's a just and fair God. If someone doesn't have a mental capacity to be able to respond to the gospel, I believe they too will go to heaven one day because he's a fair God. It's a just God. And so you have this, David mentioned this, so, you know, there's a minimum age. You know, I don't know what age, but I'll tell you, I do want you to consider this. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter number 31. In Deuteronomy chapter number 31, Moses is about to pass away from the scene. In Deuteronomy chapter number 31, he's gathering all of Israel together. He's put the Pentateuch together. He's given some instructions here. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 31, and I really want to encourage young families with kids to listen tonight. Note this, maybe share it with others who, you know, are going to have children and will have children and do have young children, just to consider some of these things. But in Deuteronomy chapter number 31, as Moses is doing all this in verse number 6, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, "At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of the tabernacle, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in a place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." God does nothing by mistake. Amen? The law, the word, was to be read to all of Israel every 7 years. Right? I'm not telling you that the age 7 is the age of accountability. I'm not telling you that. What I am telling you is that was expected by God that children could comprehend the message by age 7, typically speaking. Because every 7 years, this was to be rehearsed in its totality. And they were to listen. And so by around that age, they should be able to comprehend. I mean, people, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They were to, should be able to comprehend this. It was expected to read it every 7 years. Does that make sense? So by every 7 years, it was expected that they would be able to understand. I'm not saying they could get saved or not. I'm just saying they could comprehend the message. And so, again, you remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, remember what Paul told Timothy? He told him in verse number 15 that from a child, which in the Jewish world was under the age of 12, but as a child, he had known the scriptures which were able to what? Make him wise unto salvation. So when he was a child, Timothy had learned the scriptures which were able to open his eyes to salvation. When we're dealing with children, our job is not to get them to repeat a prayer. Our job is not to get them to say something we want them to say. Our job is to teach them the scriptures. And I believe with some confidence from the Word of God and the examples that typically speaking, by the age of 7, a child should be able to receive the facts and the knowledge and the wisdom concerning the gospel. I'm not saying that that's when they need to be saved and we don't panic. I'm not saying if someone gets saved at 6:54 that they're not saved. I'm not saying that, because everyone will comprehend and digest and be able to, you know, the Bible doesn't give a date and a time, and I'm glad for that.
Amen.
All right? It just says a child can comprehend us.
Right.
It doesn't mean to get saved when they're a child. I didn't get saved when I was 14. I still can't tell you why. I wish I would have earlier, but I'm just glad I did. But the comprehending is possible. And when we're dealing with children next week, again, someone comes forward. We don't want them to come forward and say, all right, you want to go to heaven? Yes, then repeat after me. That's what we've been teaching all year on Thursday nights, to not do something like that. Can a child, 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, can they understand the gospel message and be saved? Without hesitation, yes, they can. All right? So, again, because of a child's humble faith, they can believe in the Word of God and the gospel, but also you can't abuse the other ditch on one side of the road is this, you know, well, you're a child, you can't get saved, that's wrong. And the other ditch is because of their innocence and their humbleness, you can get them to repeat pretty much whatever you want them to say.
Right.
And we want to avoid both those ditches. As always, the truth is found right in the middle. But the Scriptures make one wise unto salvation. So what are we doing next week? We're teaching Scriptures.
Right.
What are we doing next week? We're planting the gospel seed. What are we doing next week? We may be watering that gospel seed. But there may be some that it'll be time that God will give fruit.
Yeah.
And we're praying for fruit. I mean, the reason we bring kids in every week, so we're planting and watering, right? And we want them to get saved. So you say, well, when does this whole process start of teaching them these things? And I'll say this, and we'll go into our next point. It starts before birth.
Right.
You start praying for your child. But also, those children still in the womb, they can hear. Now, I'm not telling you they're not John the Baptist and leaping in the womb at the apparition of Christ, all right? I don't think that's going to happen to any of us, all right? But they hear. You say, what do you want them to hear? I'll tell you one of the greatest things they can hear is mom and dad with normal voices, with love, talking about God. You say, well, they can't even comprehend it, but they're listening. Alex, him and his wife are down in Florida on vacation right now, but I remember we were so excited when Alex was going to be born. I would talk every night to an unborn Alex. I'd tell him all about life, and Stacy and I would sing. We'd tell him, say, well, how much did he comprehend? I don't think any of it. But when he was born, he's laying over there, I'll never forget, and he's screaming, crying like most newborns do. And I walked over there, and this is a life-changing moment, Travis Burke's life. I walked over there, he's screaming and crying. I said, Alex, he knew my voice.
Amen.
Be careful what they hear before they're born.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But he could hear. I told you before, when I was born, I don't remember this, but when I was born, they handed a baby Travis to his mommy. And back then, no one was, you know, my dad wasn't, he was waiting, pacing out in the, you know, lobby. No one was allowed in the room back then. And the very first thing that was told to me, she held me in her arms and she said, Travis, Jesus loves you. I say, but you don't even remember it. But I know she did. She began to, and trust me, that wasn't the only time she told me that.
Right.
So we consider their age, and there's some thoughts on age. So when can they be saved? As when they understand the message,
right,
they can be saved.
Right.
I've met people that give a testimony at 5 years old. Say, are they really saved? if they trusted in Christ as their Savior and understood the gospel, they're saved. Yes. You got the age, and then my second thought is this. We got to teach him appropriately. Appropriately. I just want to give you some thoughts. Moms and dads, consider these things. From before birth till the time they're about 3 or 4, I want to encourage you in this, all right? Teach them to reverence God. Teach them to reverence God. Psalm 111, verse number 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. Teach them to reverence God so they can learn the wisdom of salvation. But we got to teach them first to fear the Lord. See, how do we do that with young children, you know, up to 3 or 4 years old from the time of birth? You want to teach them the stories of the Bible. But don't just teach them the stories. Go further with the principles that are being taught in those stories. Again, I'm not talking about having a two-hour service every night at home, right? But what I am saying, right, is to teach them simple lessons. One of the greatest places to start is at the beginning with Adam and Eve. So what are we going to teach them? Teach them these principles. Number one, that God loves you. Teach children that God loves them. Tell them, again, we can use Adam and Eve, that God loved Adam and Eve. He gave them a garden and all that he did for them and showing his love in all the different ways. But that God loves you. But also teach them this lesson, that because he loves, number two, he has to discipline. That's an important lesson to teach that God, and you can give lessons about Adam and Eve, you could talk about Moses and the disobedience, David, and tell the stories of David, all right, there's so many Jonah, there's so many stories you can tell to teach this principle, but because he loves, and why does he chasten us? Because he loves us, because he knows that if we continue down those wrong paths, it will destroy our life. So he chastens, and then that helps as you need to chasten your children. So why is mom and dad punishing you? Because you love me. And you don't want me to continue down our wrong path. You say, at 3 years old, just keep teaching it. Just keep teaching it. You teach that God loves you, teach that God disciplines who he loves, and then teach him this, that God always keeps his promises. Always keeps his promises. Now, every one of these points can be taught with Adam and Eve. You know, you'll see it, right? But you can also teach, like, the story of Noah. God has never broken that promise. But you teach these stories, but you're teaching the principles behind them and that they can start learning, and the scriptures make a child what? Wise unto salvation, right? So you're teaching these things that God loves you, he chastens because he loves, that God always keeps his promises, and this, that God gives us rules to obey. Does God have right and wrong? Yes. Now, obviously, again, with Adam and Eve, where's that taught? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? Don't eat that. Daddy, why did God put that there? Because God always has rules. And we have a choice whether we're going to obey or not. You could obviously teach it with the Ten Commandments and just a plethora of illustrations when God gives instructions and commandments in the Word of God. But teach these simple lessons. And one more, right? That God sees everything. God sees everything. And you're teaching these lessons to your kids. You say, well, they're not going to get saved at 3. Well, you're going to hurt yourself in the future if you don't teach these lessons when they're young. So you're teaching these lessons. God sees everything. Tell them about Achan. Remember Achan? Achan stole the bacon. God saw it, right? Did Adam and Eve, when they sinned, did God see it? Yes, right? And you teach that God sees everything. So you teach reverence from before birth all the way up to 3 or 4 years old. And again, these aren't rules. These are just suggestions, all right? I don't have a scripture verse that says teach this by 3, all right? But teach reverence, but then also when they start getting a little bit beyond 4, 5, and 6, you want to start teaching them respect to apply these principles that they've been learning. And say, well, what do you mean respect? You're going to start teaching them about Jesus. What lessons? I wrote down 4 here. In this age time, this is a good time to teach him, number one, who is God? Teach him, who is God? He's the creator. He's all-powerful. He has knowledge, all knowledge. The greatness of God, the love of God, how he's a just God. Teach it through the stories in the Word of God. You can teach a lot just in the story of David and Goliath about who God is. Remember, David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, who will deliver you this day. Teach him about who is God. And then also during this time, teach him on who is man. And again, I did a whole institute series on anthropology, the study of man. That's not what I'm talking about, right? When I say teach him who is man, I mean this. We're sinners. We're sinners. I don't need to give these kids a college age level teaching, right? Teach them who is sinners, that we're all sinners, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that all of us, there's none good. That's one of the issues when we deal a lot with next week with Kids Crusade and people come forward, you know, these children, well, have you ever sinned? No. If they don't know they're a sinner, what are they getting saved from? So we want to teach them that they're a sinner, all right? And make sure they know that, all right? But teach them who, not, but I'm directing this not towards coming to an altar and I don't want you to have a checklist. I'm focusing with us as parents, how we teach our children, and then what we're trying to do as a church. Wherever you're teaching, what Sunday school and the age level, these are things that really need to be brought out, all right? And taught on these things. So who is God? Who is man? The third thing is this, under this, teach them what is truth. What is truth? We live in a world where there's a whole lot of info. And there's a whole lot of contradictions out there. And here's what you want to teach your children. What God has said is true. The Bible is the truth. And you teach that in every way that you can. That this book is truth. God's word is truth. So we're teaching this respect of who is God, who is man, what is truth, and fourthly, who is Jesus. You really want to introduce children and can they begin to comprehend these things of who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. You want to teach about his birth and his life and his words, his love, the miracles, his death, burial, and resurrection, where he's at now in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. But teach who Jesus is. So we're teaching what's appropriate in the reverence and then that respect. And then when they start getting again, I'm just around the age of 7, before or after, but right around that age, we should start really be praying that they'll choose to receive this, if they haven't done so yet, that they would receive Christ. Now again, they can receive Christ before age 7. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm teaching. Everybody with me? All right? But they should, if we've been presenting these stories, lessons, and principles, because there's a reason God said, all right, every 7 years, at this specific time, read it to them. Because anyone born, all right, within a repetition of 7 years, they're going to be able to catch us. Now, they may be 2 the first time it's read, but then at age 9, they're going to be able to understand this. Follow me? I'm not marking just one specific age, but that rotation of years, God expected them to be able to start putting these things together. So we're going to, again, expect right around this age, give or take, we want to start praying that they would choose to receive Christ if they haven't done so yet. You say, well, they're 8 years old, they haven't got saved. Just keep praying. You haven't reached, you know, they're not running tardy, right? We're praying for the Lord. Now they start getting around 14, 15, and they've not accepted Christ. I'm fasting and I'm praying. When I got saved at age 14, I thought I was going to shock the world by telling my church and my family that I wasn't saved. What I found out is that most every one of them said, we know. I went to school just a few weeks after I got saved, and one of my teachers, Mrs. Eubanks, she walked up to me and she said, Travis, I heard you got saved a couple weeks ago. I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, I have been praying for you to get saved for 6 years. I'm thankful for all these people. But there should be a receiving. Say, well, what needs to happen? Well, simply, you know this, all right? It's done by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. They're saved not by repeating a prayer, but they're saved by grace through faith. See, how do I know someone's, again, we're not doing, you know, an essay and a bunch of checklist, but they should know these things. Listen real close. And don't be afraid to ask, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he die on the cross? How does someone get saved? Now, they're saved. Again, I'm going to tell you in just a minute, it's okay to lead someone in a prayer. I'm not against that. But they need to know and understand what they're believing in. And it's by the grace of the Lord. Only by his grace can we have life. Only by God's grace did he send his son. Only by God's grace can we have eternal life. And so, grace. And by the way, around that same age, 7, 8, 9, that's when you need to start teaching your kids about grace. Because at age 7, 8, 9, that's when they start this. I want to sit in the front. I want the bigger piece of pie, right? I want to watch this. It's my turn to do this. Teach them to give grace. Teach them to start yielding, because it will help teach God's grace. But we're saved by grace through what? Faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Teach them what it is to trust the Lord, what it is to believe. And listen, you don't have to dissect those words. I can't tell how many times people have come and say, well, I had faith, but I don't know if I was trusting in God. Or I trusted in the Lord, but I don't know if I was believing in God. Can I tell you something? They're one and the same. If you don't believe me, look over in John real quick. Look at this, all right? John, you got to turn here, because there's all kinds. The devil likes to bring confusion where there shouldn't be confusion. John chapter number 1, verse number 12. John 1, 12. People get hung up on words. The Lord just says, there's no. It's simple. John 1, 12. But as many as what? Received him. To them gave he power. He does the work. To become the sons of God. Even to them that what? Believe on his name. Receiving and believing are used interchangeably. I don't have to dissect and break down those words. I've heard preachers preach entire sermons on trying to break this down. It makes everyone doubt their salvation. And people make a bunch of professions. And the preacher walks out and says, shame on that guy. Jesus never preached doubt, and I'm not going to preach doubt. I'll preach truth, and the Holy Spirit will do the convicting. Sorry, that's a pet peeve of mine. So. All right? But in any case, we're going to teach the truth and teach these things, and so that they will come to a point where they want to ask the Lord to save them and put their faith in Christ. Teach your kids during this time to trust the Lord. By the times of 7, 8, 9 years old, they're going to realize bad things happen. And they're going to start asking those questions. Why did this happen? They can comprehend that at 7, 8, 9 years old. Why was there a car wreck? Why is grandpa sick? Why? And you teach this important lesson. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And we're teaching that faith and that repentance, if you will, that grace. Then there comes the approach, the age, the appropriateness, and then the approach. And I'm done right here. All right? Someone wants to get saved. Lord willing, many will come forward next week, and we'll be able to speak to them. All right? See, what needs to happen? Well, we've been teaching it all year. There's five steps, right? There has to be the sowing, then the hearing, then the conviction, then the repentance and faith, and then there will be the regeneration, right? How does that take place with the kids? Number one, there has to be the sowing. What needs to be taught and understood? And simply as I can put this, number one, the sowing includes this, that they are sinners in need of a Savior. They need to know that. When you're dealing with someone, you want to open your Bible and go to some scriptures in Romans 3:23. Who has sinned? All of us. Are you a sinner? Oh, yeah, and they get that. Then you want to show the consequences of that sin. One of the great verses for that is Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
And we want to teach that, all right? There is a consequence for sin. But praise the Lord, God still loves us, even though we're sinners. Share with them Romans chapter number 5. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we teach them that, yes, we're all sinners, and there's a consequence for our sin. But Jesus loves us and died for our sins. So we teach them that they're sinners in need of a Savior. Then we want to teach them the significance of the death, burial, and resurrection. And again, I know we could preach seminars and teach institute classes on it. But I mean John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That Jesus came to this earth because he loves us. But he didn't just come to this earth, he died. He gave his only begotten son. You're going to teach how that Jesus came because he loves us and that he died upon the cross. But praise the Lord, he didn't stay in a grave. He arose because he conquered sin. And that death penalty, that consequence, has been paid for by the only one who could pay for that. So we teach their sin and their need of a Savior and the significance of the death, burial, and resurrection. And then teach salvation is a simple faith. The Bible says, Romans chapter number 10, glance at it with me real quick. Romans chapter number 10, and in verse number 9. Romans 10, and in verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say, how is someone saved? Believing that gospel message in their heart. Knowing it's true and committing themselves to it, that I'm the sinner, but Christ died for my sins and that he is the way of salvation. You say, well, they have to pray. Well, they can. And that's great. It's wonderful. But I know people that, under such conviction, they didn't get saved at the altar. They got saved when they stepped out of that aisle. Yeah. Knowing that Christ died for them and their faith, and they came, and they, with their mouth, confessed, confessions made unto salvation. I don't mean to obtain salvation. It means this is what I believed in. And someone that gets saved will have no problem telling other people about it, because what the Lord has done for them. It's about that faith. But there must be that sowing, there must be that hearing. Again, when you're dealing with kids next week, they come forward and be like, I want to go to heaven. And you start talking to them a little bit, but they're staring at the window. They're trying to get up and go grab a candy bar off the platform. They're looking around laughing at their friend. I am so glad you came forward, Bobby. I want you just to keep on listening. All right, and you go back to your seat, and tomorrow night I want you to listen close to the preaching. And if you have more questions, come and see us. If they don't care to listen and they have no interest, give them the story, all right? Give them instruction. Don't rebuke them, all right? But just keep the door open. There should be sowing, hearing, and then conviction. Now, I spent a lot of time teaching on that last few weeks, but again, Felix trembled. Others just changed their life. Others just said, I believe. Conviction comes in all different forms. But there should be conviction in the heart that they really, how do I know? The Spirit of God will tell you. Just walk with the Lord. But this young person sees and knows, and you see it. They know this truth. And then there'll be repentance and faith. Let them pray. That's great. If they say, I'm not sure how to pray, say, well, here's something I prayed. Let them know. I'm not against leading them in prayer as long as they know it's believing. I wanted to pray when I got saved. Because confession's made unto salvation. I'm not opposed to that. That's great. The Bible says it, right? You know, but let them, all right? And then regeneration, that's the Lord's work. He does it. You say, well, last year there was like 14 professions of faith last year. How many of them got saved? Everyone that believed. Brother George Griffiths at camp, there would be multiple, you know, decisions every week at camp, and he did it for many, many years, still does. But he looked at me one time, because I learned a lot from him, and he was sitting down with me, and I was telling him about someone that had gotten saved 3 years in a row, one of our bus kids. And he looked at me and he said, Travis, you keep letting them come to the well.
Right.
They'll get a drink.
That's right.
Just keep preaching the truth.
Right.
And that's our job. Keep sharing the truth. And so with kids in this, I hope to give some thoughts, some principles. Let's just pray for the preaching. Brother Ferguson will be preaching every night. Pray for the simplicity of the gospel. And let's pray that planting, watering, and that God will bring the increase.